And standing, please, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 7 through verse number 13. And I will read the first verse, and you join me on the second, and so on, all the way through verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 7 through verse number 13. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all saints. And our text verse this morning is verse number 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the health and the freedom and the privilege to come to your house this morning. Lord, we ask for your blessing now upon this time that we are about to enter into, and that's the preaching of your word. Probably the most important time out of our week will happen right now. And Lord, that's when we gather, every one of us, to hear what you have for us from the preacher, from the man of God, and from your word. Lord, our heart's desire, of course, is that if there's anyone here, whether it be a church member or whether it be a guest, that they do not know they're going to heaven, Lord, may you speak to their heart concerning their need for salvation. Please come meet with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of what to do when people hurt you. What to do when people hurt you. You cannot live very long on this planet without sooner or later being hurt. And I want you to, in fact, look at our verse, our text verse. He said, the Lord make you to increase and abound. He didn't say decrease. He said increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Now, I want you to listen carefully as I talk to you about what to do when people hurt you. Now, Father, help me this morning. I pray that you'll just guide my thoughts and help me to help your people. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the Word of God. And I ask you, please, Holy Spirit of God, put your hand upon me and flow through me and help me to help, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you have a baby, please take the baby to the nursery. Ushers will be glad to help you. And if you have a young'un that's going to misbehave, we have children's churches, and I think it'll be a blessing for them. So if you'll help us, please. Father, talk to us now. Give us exactly what we need. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Up straight, look this way, and listen carefully. I, like you, have been disappointed in some people. All of us have. Found ourselves in disappointment when you trusted someone who turned on you. Someone asked me, Brother Gray, there's a question and answer this week. Is it hard for you to trust people? And my answer is this, no. It's not hard for me to trust people at all. And let me tell you why. Because I absolutely refuse to lose my faith in people. I absolutely refuse to quit trusting people. Brother Howes, you all write this down. Brother Howes said in college chapel one time, and this is a tremendous statement, you all write this down. Try giving yourself away. Try giving yourself away. Try giving yourself away. Say that with me. Try giving yourself away. Say it again. Try giving yourself away. I have refused to be so cynical about life and people to not give my life to people. I refuse to be disillusioned with the human race. I refuse to lose my faith in mankind. There are some of you here this morning who love me dearly. Maybe I do not know who you are exactly. Maybe I do know, but it doesn't matter. Here's what I've decided to do. I've decided to trust all of you. I do not know exactly who all of you are that love me, and please, I don't want to know if you love me or don't love me, but I've decided I'm going to believe all of you love me. Well, I'm living in a fairy tale world, aren't I? But I'm just going to believe that all of you do love me. There were people who sat in these pews a year ago, 2 years ago, whom I would have trusted totally. Now, I was wrong not in trusting them, but I was wrong in my appraisal of that. So since I don't know which of you may turn on me or us in the next 24 months, I have found a solution. I'm going to trust all of you. So I refuse to live my life doubting people. I refuse to live my life and not giving myself away. So I'm going to do what I've done for 33 years of preaching. I'm going to continue to think that everybody loves me, and I'm going to place my faith in everybody, because I don't want to be like some people who become cynical. And I've been hurt like you've been hurt, and I've been disappointed like you've been disappointed. I'm disappointed because there's only 30 of these macaroons in here. I was expecting a lot more than that. So the Loys who gave that to me, I'm very suspicious of them this morning. But I want you to write this down. I'm going to give you just four statements this morning, and we're out of here. Number one, I'm going to keep trusting people. The first thing I want to say is, I'm going to keep trusting people. I ask you to do the same thing. I ask you to keep trusting people. I have been hurt. I have been wounded. I have been saddened. I have been betrayed. I have been forsaken. Now, because of the numbers of people that I've had the wonderful privilege of pastoring through the years, I know that I've been hurt maybe more than you, or hurt more than the average pastor has been. But all of us are in the same boat, because we've all been hurt. Now, for these 33 years, I've been hurt again and again and again. But I've decided I'm not going to lose faith in people. I refuse to not trust people. Now, hold it. If I can keep my faith in people, then certainly you can keep your faith in people. Let me say it again. If I can keep my faith in people, then certainly you can keep your faith in people. I'm talking to people this morning who've been hurt. You've been disappointed. You've been betrayed. And you're hurt this morning. And it's a deep hurt, and nobody can explain it unless you yourself have been hurt. But I'm telling you, please, I beg you, you keep on trusting people. So when someone whom I thought was my friend betrays me, the next one in line, I'm going to believe that he's different. I'm going to believe that he's not like the one that maybe betrayed me. I'm going to believe this one means it. Preacher, I'm not going to put my whole weight down, somebody said this week. Now, that's up to you, but I'm going to, and daily I'm going to have more weight to put down. Preacher, you're going to get hurt again. Okay, then I'll get hurt again, but I'm refusing to think that everyone is like those who forsake. I'm not going to do it. Look, folks, do you realize what will happen to you if you spend your life because somebody betrays you or disappoints you? If you think the next fellow in line comes along is going to betray you and disappoint you, look, you're going to become so suspicious of people, you're not going to enjoy life anymore. And I absolutely refuse that it's going to be that way, because you cannot keep going and stay on top side if you're constantly worrying about people turning on you and disappointing you. It's going to happen. But when it does, are you listening to me? Hey, look at me. Are you listening to me? But when it does, then you think about the next person coming along. I'm not going to think of them in those terms. I'm refusing to think that everyone is like those who forsake or betray. It's time for all of us to be reminded to keep giving yourself away. It's time for all of us to be reminded why we're... Someone said to me, I'll never trust another preacher as long as I live. Well, you're the loser. you're the loser. I wrote this down. I had a dentist one time that ran off with a secretary. But I still need a dentist. I had a mechanic one time, took my car to the mechanic, and he went through, I left my wallet in there, went through my wallet, took, I think it was $120 he took out of my wallet. Now, wait a minute now, he was a thief and a crook, but I still need a mechanic. All I know is it takes gas and oil, fellas, that's all I know. I need a mechanic, I've got to have one. I need a dentist. I need a mechanic. So I'm not going to say that all mechanics are crooks, and I'm not going to say that all dentists are crooks. I'm going to say that all lawyers are crooks. That's what I'm going to say. It's foolish to say you'll never trust anyone again. Okay, so you've been hurt. Trust again. So you've been betrayed. Trust again. So you've been forsaken. Trust again. So you've left to face it alone. Trust again. I do not think you'll ever live a rich life if you live a suspicious life. Let me say it again. You will never live a rich life if you live a suspicious life. I don't know how some of you women know what other women are thinking, but you're amazing to me. That ESP that you've got is absolutely amazing to me. I don't know how in the world you figure some action or some movement. So you've got that all figured out to write a book about it. I don't. I don't know what in the world people are thinking, and I'm not going to sit around and try to think up what they're thinking. I'm not going to do that because I just might be wrong, and you just might be wrong. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not going to live a suspicious life. I want to live a rich life, so I'm going to keep on trusting, and keep on trusting. Give yourself away. Say it with me. Give yourself away. Say it again. Give yourself away. Give yourself to people. So I'm not going to lose my confidence in mankind or in people. So I've decided to keep giving myself away as I've done for these 33 years. But preacher, some of these folks are just using you. Well, I hope so. I thought that's why we were here. I thought we were here to be used. An apple's to be eaten and a preacher's to be eaten. No, wait a minute here. A preacher's to be used. That's why we're here. You're supposed to be used. I'm supposed to be used. Somebody said, well, they're just taking advantage of you. Well, whatever I have, you can have. Take advantage of me. That's okay. But I've got to guard my spirit, and I've got to say I'm going to keep on trusting people. I had a deacon stand up in deacon's meeting and make this statement. I want to say, this is the quote, I want to say how much I love my preacher, and I'm for you, and how fortunate I am to be a deacon here at LBT. And 1 month later, he was gone. Gone. I mean, why make the statement? Now, hold it. I refuse to think that the rest of the deacons do the same thing to me. I refuse it. I'm not going to believe it. Now, if they do it, then it's their loss. But the next one we put on the deacon board, I'm not going to walk around suspicious of him and say, I think he's going to turn on me too. Folks, do you realize what kind of an awful life that is? Those of you who've been betrayed, those of you who've been lied about, do you realize how awful that is? Please, I beg you, as God's people this morning, we've all been hurt. We've all been disappointed. But let's keep on going for God. Let's keep on trusting people. One usher may turn on us, but that doesn't mean all ushers are like that. One deacon may turn on us, but that doesn't mean all deacons are like that. One preacher may have hurt you at one time, but that doesn't mean that all preachers are that way. Please, it's important this morning that we as God's people increase and abound in love as we do towards God. I love God this morning. I don't hate God. I love God. I love God's work. I love God's people. I love the work of God. I love soul winning. I love our church. I love our staff. I love our deacons. I love our choir. I love our church. I love our Christian schools. I love our college. I love it. And I am not going to become sour because of betrayal or suspicion and suspicion of everybody. I can't do that. I can't live that way. When I come to you, I've got to come on top side. I've got to let you know we're going to make it. Everything's all right. I cannot do that if I quit trusting people. I'm thinking of a lady who worked for me, whose husband got into serious trouble. Dope, drugs, got to where he was sniffing glue. In fact, you got him off of a roof one night. I mean, just went berserk and went berserk. I spent hundreds of hours counseling with him. I don't mean a dozen, and I don't mean 10, and I don't mean 5. I mean hundreds of hours. And all of a sudden, one day, she got out of the choir. Next thing I know, you folks would sit in the front, and then you move a little bit further back, a little bit further back. If we built a third balcony, you'd be sitting in the back seat of that one. And next thing I know, they were gone. And when I called, wouldn't even talk to me on the phone. I, to this day, don't know what happened. To this day, don't know what happened. But wait a minute. I refuse not to trust staff ladies. Let me scratch that out of there right there. But I refuse not to. I'm not going to. I am not going to believe that the next one that comes along is going to turn on me. Now, I hope you'll listen to me at this point. You cannot live a life because you have been hurt by somebody thinking that everybody's like that somebody. And by the way, you've hurt people yourself too. You didn't. Maybe you didn't mean to. Maybe you meant to. But you're not going to sit here and look at me and tell me this morning that one time or another you've not hurt somebody or you've not offended somebody. And I'd hate to think that they would not forgive you and would not allow you to get back in good graces again. And I think as God's people, if we don't live this way, we're not going to get people saved. We're not going to have the power of God. We've got to increase and abound in that love just like we do with God. Listen, folks, I love God more today than I did last year. I love more to God today than I did 2 years ago. I love God more today, Brother Queen. You ought to love Him a lot, as old as you are. But love God. We love God. Now, I'm just saying that as we abound in that love, then we have to abound in that love towards others. I said, number one, I am going to keep on trusting people. I am going to keep on trusting people. I am going to keep on trusting people. I think of another couple, serious marital problems, and I spent literally hundreds of hours with them healing that marriage. And I got the marriage healed, and they were doing fine. But then all of a sudden one day, she snapped at me in the hallway, and I didn't know what in the world was going on. Next thing I know, they're gone. Next thing I know, they're not even here. Next thing I know, they're divorced, and my heart is broken over it. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not mad at them, not upset with them. But I refuse to think that the next couple I counsel with, that they're going to turn on me. I refuse to. I'm not going to. Let me give you a good piece of advice. Everybody's human. Everybody's human. Everybody's going to be disappointed sooner or later, and you're going to disappoint people sooner or later. The best thing in the world to do is for you to get back up and dust yourself off and say, I'm going to keep on going, and I'm going to keep... I'll pause while you holler amen now. I refuse to be suspicious of people because of certain people. I'm saying to you, preacher, what are you going to do when the next deacon turns on, asks for help? You're going to suspect he's going to turn on you? No, I'm going to give him help. What are you going to do when the next staff lady decides she wants some help? You're afraid she would turn on you? You're going to help her? I'll help him. I'll help him. Next preacher that turns on me, I'm still going to love him. I'm still going to believe in him. But I'm also going to believe in the next preacher that comes along that I befriend. I said, number one, I'm going to keep on doing what? I'm going to keep on trusting. Help me now. I'm going to keep on trusting people. I'm going to keep on trusting people. Talk to me now. I'm going to keep on trusting people. Now, I've had preachers turn on me, but I refuse to lose faith in preachers. I've had deacons turn on me, but I refuse to lose faith in deacons. I think we got the best deacons in the world here at this church, and I believe that. I'm going to continue to believe. And by the way, I believe all of them love me. I believe all of them love me dearly. I believe that all of them would die for me. Would you meet me out in the back? I'll try to prove that today. But I refuse to lose faith in deacons. I've had staff members turn on me, but I refuse to lose faith in staff members. I refuse to do it. I've had Sunday school superintendents turn on me. I refuse to lose faith in right on down the line. I'm just saying to you, I want to keep on trusting the human race, and I'm going to keep on trusting people. Don't pull back from people. Write that down. Don't pull back from people. Don't pull back from people. Don't pull back from people. When you get hurt and you feel like you've been betrayed, then don't you pull back from people. Don't you do that, because folks, I don't know how to tell you this, but you got to live with the rest of these people on this planet. And you don't live that way, because you first thing you know, you attract who you are. Get this now. You attract who you are. If you become suspicious, if you become down on people, then guess who you're going to attract? You're going to attract people that are suspicious and down on people. And when you do that, you're not going to have good company. You're not going to be on top side. You're not going to be able to do like Philippians 4:8 says and think on these things. I'm going to keep on trusting people. Let's say that together. I'm going to keep on trusting people. Say it again. I'm going to keep on trusting people. Statement number two. Statement number two. I am going to keep on loving people. I'm going to keep on loving people. I said number one, I'm going to keep on trusting people. Say, preacher, have you ever been hurt deeply? Preacher, have you ever been wounded deeply? Preacher, have you ever been betrayed many times? Preacher, have you ever feel like you've been forsaken many times? But I refuse to not trust people that are coming along. I refuse. I'm not going to put it. I'm going to keep on trusting people. But number two, I'm going to keep on loving people. Now, God is love. Say that with me. God is love. Say it again. God is love. Now, in the Bible, God shows His relationship with us and says you have that relationship in turn with others. Now, if God is love, and God can't help it because He's God, didn't say God is hate, didn't say God is suspicion. It says God is love. So then if we are to reflect on earth what God has done in our life, how many are saved on your way to heaven? You wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for God's love. Look at all the dirty things that we've done in our life. You wouldn't even be saved if it wasn't for the love of God. Thank God He loved you. Thank God He saved you. Thank God He cared about you. Okay, if God is love, then Bob ought to be love. Don't you call me Bob after the service. But if God is love, then I ought to be love. That means then that I've got to constantly give love. Love is a verb. Love is action. That means I've constantly got to give love. I've got to give it and got to give it and got to give it. Why? Because I get hurt. Because I get hurt, how do I overcome it? By loving. So I get hurt, how do I overcome it? By loving. I get hurt, how do I overcome it? By loving. Somebody help me. How do you overcome evil? With what? good. That word good is a word which means profitable. It means profitable. So God wants you. Now some of you folks, you know what some of your problem is here? You're Pharisees. You'll take a word I say and you'll go home and you'll try to dissect every word that I say to try to pick it apart to make yourself look good. Why don't you just relax, undo your seatbelt, and let me help you this morning. I'm just saying I'm going to keep on trusting people. I said I'm going to keep on loving people. Let me give it right down to Hosea. H-O-S-E-A. I love the book of Hosea. Now, Hosea 4:17, God got upset with Ephraim. And God said, Ephraim, joined to his idols, leave him alone. But God couldn't stay that way. No. In Hosea 11, verses 1 through 8, God begins to think about Ephraim. So as God thinks out loud, he says, I remember when I taught Ephraim how to walk. I remember the first step he ever took. I taught him how to walk. I fed Ephraim. I kept him alive. As God continues to think about out loud about Ephraim, then God shouts out this, how can I give thee up, O Ephraim? Hey, don't give up on people. Don't turn your back on people. Don't quit loving anybody. Now, Shakespeare said this. I'm not a Shakespearean. But he said, I'd rather have loved and lost than never have loved at all. Well, I'd rather have trusted and lost than never have trusted at all. I would have rather believed and lost than never have believed at all. You didn't know I was Shakespearean, did you? But I'm saying that there's something about it. I'm telling you, look, the only way you can overcome hurt is with love. There is no other way. So God is love. I am to be love. So I am to be giving. When I do that, it'll keep me from being suspicious about everybody that's coming along. How many of you have ever been hurt? Let's see your hand. You've been hurt? My hand's up. Sure you have. What's this mean? No deodorant? Sure you've been hurt. We've all been hurt. But I'm telling you right now, the reason you look like you look right now is because you decide you don't trust nobody. You don't trust anybody. You can't live that way. Well, I've given my heart to, I'll never give my heart to anybody again. Well, boy, you're going to be miserable. You are going to live one miserable life. I said, I'm going to keep on trusting people. I'm going to keep on loving people. Now, it's time to say to all of us at Longview Baptist Temple, we are a family. We must not betray the trust that God has placed in us by us not trusting others. Listen carefully now. We must not betray the trust that God has placed in us. You know what God has done, Brother Joe? God has come down and say, I am placing my trust in you. I'm giving you some of my kids to educate. God said, I placed my trust in you. Dr. Zinn, God has come along and said, I have placed my trust in you with those kids over there. Now, we dare not betray our God who gave us the trust by us not trusting. If we will continue to trust, God loved you, so you're supposed to love others. God trusted you, so you're supposed to trust others. Boy, the worst thing in the world you can do when you go through a battle, the battles like we've been through, all you're going to do is find out around here who our real friends are. Now that's all is going to happen. The bombs are going to blow and the explosion take place. And when it does, smoke clears. You'll know exactly who your friends are. Now that's exactly what's going to happen. So that's good. That's not bad. That's good. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. That's real good. But neither should we be hateful towards those who turn out not to be our friends. Not at all. We ought to be loving. But we don't want to build... Wake up and get this now. You don't want to put some suspicion... Sit back, son. Sit up straight. Listen. You don't want to put some suspicion in your mind. Well, I thought that guy was loyal. Then he's not loyal. Wait a minute. You can't look at the next person coming along that way. You've got to keep trusting people. You've got to keep on loving people. We are closer now than 24, 36 months ago. That's like a couple that goes through the fire and they find themselves in the hospital praying over a young, and it brings the family closer together. And we're close together now because of what we've been through. Now, please, let's not lose our confidence in the human race. Let's not lose our confidence in those that come along behind. Let's not quit loving people or quit trusting people. Let's go ahead and give ourselves away again. And the truth is, I can't help you if I don't give myself to you. And the truth is, I can't serve you if I don't give myself away. And the truth is, I cannot be what you need if I don't give myself to you. And the same thing is true for you. Look, let's do this. Let's decide that we're going to keep on trusting people. Let's decide we're going to keep on loving people. Number three. Boy, 4 points. We got two more and we're out of here. Number three, I am going to keep on forgiving people. I'm going to keep on forgiving people. God forgave you. Jesus forgave you. All right? If He forgives you. And by the way, has He forgiven you a second time? Has He forgiven you a third time? Has He forgiven you a fourth time? Has He forgiven you a fifth time? Okay, if He continues to forgive us, then doesn't it make sense that we ought to forgive each other? Doesn't it make sense we ought to continue to forgive Him? Show me where anybody benefits from having hatred. Show me where anybody benefits by okay, so you've been hurt. Well, that doesn't mean you can't forgive somebody. There's nothing any worse than for you to walk around not forgiving somebody. Now, if you're waiting for them to forgive you, you can forget it. If you're waiting to forget forgiveness, you may not get that, but you can give forgiveness anytime you want to. Jesus said, forgive. Now, they asked Him how many times? Seven times? No, He didn't say seven times. He said 70 times seven. That's 491. No, it's 490. 490 means then 491. Do you think that would be easier than 490 or than number one? Number one. Number one's tough. I forgive you. But God said, don't quit there. I forgive you. 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 And after a while, you'll lose count. After a while, you keep track for a while mentally, you know, okay, this is number 35. I forgive you 36. I forgive you 37. I forgive you 38. But the time you get to 490, 491 is real easy because you've done it so much. All right, if you're going to survive in the human race, let me tell you what to do. First of all, don't get married. That's the first thing. No, if you are survive in the human race, the first thing you want to do is when somebody, hey, son, listen to me now. The first thing you want to do is when somebody betrays you, you decide right then and right then you're not going to be suspicious of the next one that comes into your life. You keep on trusting. You keep on loving. You keep on forgiving. You'll be in the habit of forgiving if you keep on forgiving. So when 491 rolls around, it's very easy. In fact, you've lost track by now. You've forgiven so much. Jesus said, just keep on forgiving. But preacher, you don't know what He did to me. Doesn't matter. Just keep on forgiving. If you're not right, if you rejoice in someone else's misfortune, that's wrong. You ought to forgive without wanting vengeance. I said, number one, I'm going to keep on what? I'm going to keep on trusting. 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 All right? Number two, I'm going to keep on loving. I'm going to keep on loving. I'm going to keep on loving. Now, number three, I'm going to keep on forgiving. I'm going to keep on forgiving. We had an evangelist here that lied about me and tried to hurt me. And I don't know why in the world did it. To this day, I don't know why. But he had a heart attack. He had a heart attack, and I wasn't rejoicing in it, but I picked up the phone and called him and said, I was praying for you. He said, well, I'm shocked you called me. And I said, well, you shouldn't be. You're in the hospital. I'm going to pray for you. Now, you say, preacher, he tried to destroy you. Yes, he did, but good night. We need every soul winner we can get. We need everybody out there getting the gospel out. We can get out there. So God, the reason God doesn't give you vengeance is because you won't kill him. The reason God has vengeance is because He wants to salvage them, not scrap them. So, you know, the truth is, they not only tried to kill Jesus, they killed Him. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Say that. For they know not what they do. Do you know that when people get in that old nature state and that old nature starts running their life, do you know they don't know what they're doing? Do you know that? Do you know when that prodigal was in the hog pen and he was laying in that hog? Do you know he didn't know what he was doing? The Bible says he came to himself, which meant he was not himself. Now, please don't leave me on this. He was not himself. So when people attack you and do dumb things towards you, guess what? And they're saved. Wake up and get this now. They are not themselves. They are not themselves. Now, I'm just saying that somewhere in here, we need to realize we've got to forgive and give people an opportunity to come back to when they become themselves. By the way, wake up and get this. The prodigal came back home. And the dad had the farm still going, so he had some place to come back and make a living. So he could live. But he was not himself in that hog pen. Somebody help me. Do you think the prodigal had good things to say about his dad? I don't think so. Do you think the prodigal went around praising everybody and said, boy, what a great dad I have? No, they said he's too strict. They probably said, my dad's a fundamentalist and I don't like that. Now, hold it now. Wait a minute now. He was not himself.
He was so wrapped up in his... Wake up! Get this now! He was so wrapped up in eating and drinking and riotous living and the good things that he turned on his dad, turned on his brother, turned on his family, and no doubt said awful, awful things about his dad who fed him awful things. Look, I worked for General Motors for 7 years. I'm still loyal to General Motors. They fed my family. They put food on the table. They gave me the best cars in the world to drive. I'm not about to turn on them now. Look, loyalty's about gone in America. I'll tell you that right now. But the truth is, when somebody does that, they're not themselves. They're not themselves at all. They've been bewitched by somebody and something is wrong. I don't know what's wrong, but I know one thing. I'm going to stay the same and stay right where I am so they have a place they can come back to. Mama, stay the same. Don't become bitter so that your daughter has a place you can come back to. Daddy, please, please don't get bitter. You be what you ought to be so they can come back to you someday. I'm just saying to you, you've got to keep on trusting. You've got to keep on loving. You've got to keep on forgiving. Then I say, you know, this is interesting. Have you ever watched a boxing match? I think it's horrible. I think that this is a terrible sport, and I think it's a horrible sport. But if I happen to, you know, praying and happen to look up, Brother Riplock, and it's there. I mean, have you ever watched boxers? 12 rounds, Brother Riplock, beating the snot out of each other. I mean, hitting each other, pound blood going everywhere. What do they do at the end of the fight? Hug. They hug. Now, don't look at me that way. You've seen a fight, and you know you have. If I look spiritual this morning, you've seen a fight, haven't you? And, no, he hasn't seen a fight either. he just goes home. He's in one when he goes home. The only difference there is you don't hug when you get done, do you? But have you seen these boxers? Yeah, have you ever seen a boxing match? Yeah, come on now. Has anybody ever seen a boxing match? Okay, you find a couple honest people. And have you noticed that they hug after the fight? Well, if the world will do that, why in God's name can't God's people, when you have a disagreement, okay, have a disagreement, but when it's over, why don't you forgive and why don't you hug and then go for another 12 rounds? Now, I'm just saying, number one, I'm going to keep on trusting. Number two, I'm going to keep on loving. Number three, I'm going to keep on forgiving. And number four, I'm going to keep on using people. I'm going to keep on using people. I'm going to keep on using people. You bus captains need bus workers. You have a bus worker turn on you. You still need bus folks. I'm going to keep on using people. And I know what they say about us. They say, well, you got just a bunch of sinners down at that church. Yeah, and you're one of them. But we're going to use sinners around here. That's all we got. That's all we got around here is a bunch of sinners. That's all we got. So we got to keep on using sinners. We got to keep on using people. We have to. And by the way, if you're looking for perfect people around here, you're not going to find it. If you look for perfect people anywhere, if you decide to leave here and go find a better church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. I'm just saying, look, we've all been hurt. We've all been betrayed. All of us have. But we've got to keep on trusting people. We've got to keep on loving people. We've got to keep on forgiving people. We have got to keep on using people. We have to. We have to. Look, if you live a suspicious life, you're no fun. You can't enjoy anything because everybody's looking for that extra message that's there that nobody... This morning, I preached this morning, but I guarantee you there's somebody sitting right here. What's he up to? What's going on here? I guarantee you that's exactly what's going on. And you're living a suspicious life. You can't do that. You can't do that at all. This message was prepared 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago was prepared. I have preached messages up here where people have walked out and said, I know why you did that. You don't know. There are things I say up here, I don't even know how God's going to use it. But God uses it. And I've given devotions before and or preached somewhere. Brother Bob, was that you saw this happen on Tuesday. I called a young man out of the congregation and used him as being a lost man. And I put him into hell. I didn't put him into hell, but I mean, you know, it was an illustration, you see. I'm going to try this side. They're not very friendly over there. Very suspicious on that side of the auditorium. And after the service, he came up to Brother Bob and said, Brother Bob, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. Now, God had me do that to help somebody. But what we do, we live so politically minded and so got to be a reason for everything rather than say, hey, God's working here. God's talking here. God's speaking to us here. God's trying to tell us something here. I was in... Brother Chitty's place out in the Indians. We had about 600 Indians in a gymnasium, and I mean, there was Indians everywhere. I was sitting with, Howard Hall was sitting next to me. I was sitting on the front. It was my turn to preach. I stood up, went to the front, and began to preach. An Indian walked in the back door, walked all the way down, and sat in the chair that I was in. When he walked in the room, the people got, it was like they sucked air out of the room, and everybody just got just quiet. And I went on about the sermon, and I stopped, and I said, folks, I don't know why I did this, but God had me do it. I stopped, and I said, folks, let me show you how to lead somebody to Christ. I was talking about soul winning. So I said, sir, can I use you? And he came up, stood there, and I went through the soul winning presentation. He bowed his head, he prayed after me, invited Christ in his heart, and sat down. And as I started to go this way to preach, the Holy Spirit said to me, that guy just got saved. I turned around and looked at him, and I said, sir, did you just get saved? He said, I sure did. Dead tears running down his cheek. And come to find out, what do they call him now? I forgot. Is it a medicine man or a... medicine man. Shawnee. A shaman. A shaman. Well, you got a smart wife there, buddy. You better listen to her. Shaman, excuse me. I thought it was just a redskin. But anyway, I'll get in trouble on that statement, won't I? But a medicine man, and he had come to disrupt the service. And what happened was he got saved. He got born again. Now, I'm just saying to you, let God, quit being so suspicious about people. And allow God to work. Allow God to do what he's doing. Kevin Connor's going to China. Everybody in the world started speculating, why is Kevin Connor going to China? Can I tell you why? Because Kevin Connor is going to China. I've never in my life ever seen such a... They get on the internet and can do 15 pages of ascertaining why is Kevin Connor leaving Dr. Bob Gray and going to China. Well, could it be that God's taking him to China? I mean, why does there have to be a whole list of things and reasons about it? In fact, I don't understand this, but it was on the internet before we even talked about it. And it wasn't because he said anything or I said anything. Brother Bowen, he's traveling for IBWM. He's trying to establish churches in Thailand. All of a sudden, everybody in the world's got their... Well, I know why. In fact, the family that left here said to Dane Matney, said, it looks like the preacher's running everybody off now. Wait a minute now. We're trying to raise money to establish churches in Thailand. We're trying to do a good work. But when you live a suspicious life and you live that way, you can't see the forest for the trees. And all of a sudden you start living in such a way. Oh, I know why. Let me tell you why. Why don't you just relax and realize that God is working in people's lives, and somebody's going to have to relax here and allow God to do what God is doing. Well, I feel betrayed. Get over it. Well, I feel hurt. Won't be the last time. Get over it. Well, I'll never trust anybody again. Grow up. By the way, the only time you can say you'll never trust anybody again is if you're perfect. So if you're not perfect, I'd suggest you want people to trust you, imperfect people. Then I'd suggest you keep on trusting other imperfect people. No such thing as a perfect deacon. There's no such thing as a good deacon. No such thing as a perfect deacon. But why should we let... I'm talking to women in this room who can think of 15 things in your mind. Just your mind is that quick. 15 things popping off in your... And that's why you gossip so much. Because if it ain't true... You don't want to know if it's true or not because it's too juicy. Doesn't matter. I don't want to know the truth. Don't tell me the truth. Because when I get on that phone, I'm going to say this and say this. And hey, hang the stupid thing up and why don't you go win somebody to Christ. Get somebody saved. Let's quit living so suspiciously about people. Let God do what God's going to do. I preach sometimes, people go like this. And then they go like this. You ever see that? You ever watch it? They go like that. And what they're saying is, I've got to figure this guy out. And you totally miss what God's saying. Totally. You turn into a blonde. Now, there is an advantage being married to a blonde. You can park in a handicap zone. Now, I now try to figure out why I told that joke, would you? Because I don't even know why I told that joke. Let's relax. When you get betrayed, you keep on loving. You keep on trusting. You keep on believing. And you keep on giving and you keep on using. And you watch God bless you. If you have a good outlook about life, a good optimism about life, you make sure you do that for your sake. Not mine, because I'm going to do it. But for your sake. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please.